Are you called into full-time ministry? That's what I'm going to talk about today. I've really been stirred with this the last week and a half or so. I've been stirred with this, burden is the right word, but just this something from the Lord. Like, I want to see those who have a call in their life to give themselves full-time to the work of the ministry, and to see them be affirmed in their calling and to step into it, to begin to step into that. And so everybody in the body of Christ has a call of God on their life. Amen? Like, everybody. There is no one type of calling that's superior or inferior to another type of calling. And there are people, everyone in the body of Christ is called to make disciples, right? Amen. Yeah? Everybody is called to minister in spiritual gifts. You can heal the sick. You can cast out demons. You can raise the dead. You can prophesy. You can speak with new tongues. You can interpret those tongues. You can have the gift of faith. There's all these spiritual gifts. And every person is called to make disciples and minister to others in spiritual gifts. There's probably, I'd say, the majority of believers are called to do that in the context of being a stay-at-home parent, or being a farmer, or being a teacher, some kind of career in the marketplace, whatever it is, to be a judge, to be a whatever you want to be. And in that context, God calls you to make disciples, minister in spiritual gifts, love God with all your heart, and you reach people and you bless people where you're at. My baseball coach in high school helped lead me to Jesus. And he would, I found this out afterward, he would bold, he's like, his primary calling in his mind, he's like, my primary focus is I want to influence young men for Jesus. And he says, God's called me to be a baseball coach and to do it in this arena because it gives me access to these young men. And I remember we would do this, it was a public high school, and he would every day, he would lead the whole team in prayer. He just did it. He didn't really ask our permission. He wasn't even timid about it. He wasn't like, oh, if this bothers you, you can leave. He didn't say that at all. He was just like, everybody take off your hats, bow your head, we're going to pray. And then he'd just start praying, Jesus, like bold. Just, he would preach the gospel to us, literally would open up his Bible, read verses, and preach to us. I remember this. I remember it was our last practice before spring break. We were released for spring break. And he was just pleading with us about, warning us about the dangers of alcoholism and all this kind of stuff. He's like, don't do this. And he would call us. You know, I remember this verse out of Proverbs. He would say, the fear of the Lord, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. I think that's what it is. He would say that. And I remember just being like, that's really powerful. Even before I was saved, just hearing these Bible verses. And he actually, three guys on my team that I partied with over that spring break that he warned us about, we didn't listen. And we went out and did stuff we shouldn't have done. But later, as soon as that school year ended, within the same week, all three of us gave our lives to Jesus. We got radically saved. And all three of us are in ministry today. But my coach, he was holding, and I found out later after I became a believer, he was like, no, my calling is here with young men. He was highly successful. He had he's in the Alabama Hall of Fame, the high school Hall of Fame, because he won so many state championships. I don't even remember the number. It's lots. And hundreds of victories as a coach for many, many, many years. And he could have had opportunity if he wanted to. He could have advanced. He could have gone on to become a college coach, maybe tried to break into the pros. I mean, he was excellent at what he did. He gave himself to it. He said, I'm going to do it with excellence because God's called me to serve in this arena. I'm going to give my best. I'm going to train young men. And from that platform, he would just boldly preach the gospel. And he would even say, this is at a public school. He taught at a private school that was a Christian school, and he led people to Jesus doing that. And then God called him to come over to this public school where I was at, and he coached there. And he was like, you know, if something happens and I get in trouble for this, he's like, I'll just go back where I was before. It doesn't matter. But while I'm here, I'm going to be who I am. I'm here to influence young men for Jesus. So I praise God for those people. You know, God places believers in the marketplace. But what's on my heart today, and I'm going to really address the ones, there are others in the body of Christ, and their calling is not to be in the marketplace. Their calling is to give themselves full time to ministry, to the work of the ministry. I'll give you an example. How about Peter and James, and I think it was John. Jesus comes by. These guys are, what do they do for a living when Jesus met them? They're fishermen, right? Yeah? It's the family business, actually, because they're doing it with their father. They're in the boat, and Jesus comes along, and he calls them into training for the ministry that he had called them to as apostles. And what does he, and he says, come and follow me. And the Bible says that they left their nets right away. They left their business behind because they full time, they gave themselves to being with Jesus. They entered into that relationship. And specifically, they were entering into training for the ministry that he had called them to. And for them, there was a call. For some people, there's a trend. When I first got saved, let me say it like this. When I first got saved, I remember it's just kind of the denomination, the culture of the body of Christ that I was in. They would talk about, are you called into ministry? And usually 7 times a year, you know, you'd be at a youth camp, at least one of the messages. If you're called into the ministry, and there was really an emphasis on finding the ones who were called into ministry and identifying them, calling them out so they could be trained and into ministry, which was awesome. I'll tell you my story a little bit later. And I love that. That's totally biblical. They are really going after who's the one who's called to give themselves full time to the work of the ministry. Lately, there's in a lot of the circles of the body of Christ that I'm running in, there's this revelation that God's giving that we're all called to be ministers and we all make disciples. We're all in the ministry, and there's this emphasis on that we're all called to do this, which is true and it's right. And I love it. It's so important. I just talked about it. But at the same time, there's also those, and so there's this thing like, hey, I am going to go and I'm going to start a business, or I'm going to become really good in the whatever, in the marketplace world, in some arena, and then while I'm there, I can influence people for Jesus. I love it. That's totally kingdom of God thinking. It's beautiful. But for some people, there's a calling on their life where that would actually be disobedience for them. Because for some people, God says, no, I want you to leave your nets. I want you to throw yourself on me and trusting yourself fully to me. I've got to provide for you. And I want you to give your full time to the work of the Lord. I don't want you being distracted with a business. I don't want you distracted right now with a job. I want you full time engaged in doing the thing I've called you to do. Does that make sense? So it's not, there is no one superior to another. But I just had this on my heart. I want to bring the full time ministry calling back to the surface. And because I believe there's people here who are called to give yourselves full time to the work of the ministry, and you have that desire, and I want to affirm that desire, that's good. And I want to bless you in it, and I want to just build your faith for that. Am I making any sense? The call to full time ministry is very strategic and is very important. I just, this church would probably not be here if it weren't for Autumn and I. God called us into the full-time ministry. Our whole life, it's been a walk of faith. She was called into a full-time ministry. And so, you know, at the time, especially the denomination we were part of, it's like you get called into ministry, well, you have to go to a Bible college then. You know, that was just the automatic thinking. And it was God leading us. So she went to Bible college. I got called into ministry. So I went to Bible college. We met and fell in love. I like it. But I remember, like, we were called to give her. So we got this Bible degree. We studied the Word of God. We studied theology for like 4 years. And then we graduate and we got this Bachelor of Arts degree in Biblical Studies. You know, nobody cares about that in the world at all. Seriously. And so we're like, okay, we graduated, we're ready, right? So now we interview for a position at some church, and they hire us on as a children or youth pastor, and then we pay our dues, and then you become an associate pastor, and then you pay your dues, and eventually you become a pastor. Or there's an alternate route. Maybe we become an evangelist, and we just travel around to churches and preach all the time. Or I could be a missionary and go somewhere else and work way up. But so we're thinking that's the automatic way to go, but God didn't lead us that way. He's like, hey, I don't want you to go that way. He's like, I have you in a place right now. You're already a children's pastor and a youth pastor at a little church. While we were in Bible college, we were serving in ministry. And hardly made any money for it at all. And but we graduated, and the Lord said, I didn't tell you to go anywhere else, so stay planted. And we're like, okay, we're just going to stay planted and keep serving where he put us to be. But it was really awkward because we still had to have money to live. And I remember it was a good season. It was a hard season of our life, for me anyway, probably for her too. It was hard because here I am. I'm like, I have a burning heart. I want to go do something. God's like, no, literally we were youth pastors at a church that started in a cow pasture. Literally, this is the truth. To get there, you get off the main highway, you turn onto Highway U. And you drive for 5 or 10 miles until you get to Highway UU. And then you turn, and there it is. And literally, there's a building sticking up, and there's a cow pasture with cows right there in it, mooing behind it. And that was it. And we're like, okay, it's the middle of nowhere. And so we're out there serving. And, you know, they pay us what they can, but, you know, the church didn't have a ton of money. It was a very part-time salary. And it changed. At times they would give us more. That doesn't matter. And then there's times that, anyway, it didn't matter. But it's irrelevant to my story. And so we're like, what do we got to do? And so I'm like, well, we got to make money. We got to pay rent. We lived cheap as we could. We were like, well, let's be substitute teachers because this Bible degree is pretty much worthless right now to actually make money with. But I remember so clearly the Lord put the desire in our hearts. He had called us. The desire in our heart was to give ourselves full time to the ministry. And I remember at different times, I'm like, yeah, you know, should I get like some kind of teaching degree or something so I can actually make money if I'm going to be doing this? And I remember we'd think about that. Sometimes we'd maybe take a step or two down a path like that. And the Lord would just stop us because he's like, no, I want you to learn to trust me. And I want you to give yourself to this. So we're like, okay. And we have so many of our faith, our provision stories about learning to know God as provider. It came in that season of life. God was so faithful, and he wanted us to give us. But then we moved to Pier. We're part of a church plant in Pier. And we had to work. So she worked for a company, a computer programming company. And I worked for, I got different things. I sold cell phones, and I just whatever a guy who doesn't have much of a degree can get for a job. That's what I did. And we didn't make a lot of money, but really where our heart was, we were giving ourselves full time, really. I mean, as much as we could to the work of ministry. Because that's always where our heart was. It was always there. And God had us in this prolonged season of training where he wouldn't fully release us into it. Because there were things he was doing in a life that were important. And it wasn't really until we moved to Huron that we actually got to give our full time to ministry. But that was always the call in our hearts. And our job for us was never the main thing, ever. You know, selling cell phones, I could care less. Delivering office supplies, I didn't care. Computer programming and accounting, we loved the person who owned the company and we wanted to be a blessing, but you know, we didn't really care probably that much in terms of, you know, that's not what we were looking for career. We wanted God. We're like, God, we want to impact people. And so we moved here. And honestly, because that was the position of our heart, when God said go, we were always like, when he says go, we just go. We don't choose where to live. That's our philosophy of life for my family. We don't choose where to live. We live where God tells us to live, and we do what God tells us to do there. If I were living where I choose to live, I promise you, I would not be in Huron. I mean, I love Huron now, but you know, there's very beautiful places on this planet. she was talking about palm trees earlier. That would probably be in the mix if I were choosing the place where I would be living. But I don't choose. I'm like, this life is work. This life is, you know, rest comes in the age to come when we get to rejoice. So this life is about my assignment, and so is the next one. But anyway, I'm rambling a lot today. By the end of this message, I will get across what is in my heart to get across, and God will have his way. My point is, missionaries that we support are leading people to Jesus, starting houses of prayer among unreached people groups in the world because they have given themselves full time to this work. Does that make sense? And they just, and sometimes, you know, God calls them to have a business, and sometimes he's just like, go, just go, and I'll take care of you as you go. And he does. So how can I tell if I'm called into full-time ministry? I just want to talk about some people in the Bible. I want to give you four different things. And this is only four. There's probably other ways God could call you into ministry. There's just four that came into my mind. First of all, I want to say that God can sovereignly call a person into ministry in many, many different ways. The call can come when you are young. You'll see this in some of the guys we're going to talk about in the Bible, when they got called. Some of them were called into ministry before they were conceived. That's young. I mean, you're just born. It's hanging over you. This is what you're going to do. God is just, you know, Samson, John the Baptist, of course, Jesus. Jeremiah as well. But then God can call you when you're old. You know, he can call you into ministry when you're older or in midlife. It doesn't have to be like, well, I'm 18, 19. It's the time where you choose your career in life. And, well, I didn't choose it then, so that's not my call. He can call you at any time he feels like calling you. The call can come or be confirmed. The call can come when you're young, old, or even before you're born. The call can come before you get saved. You know that? That there's people who actually, before they're even serving Jesus, they instinctively know, I'm called into ministry. I am called to give myself full time to ministry. But they're like, oh, I don't want to do it, you know, and they're resisting God. They're not even submitted to Jesus yet. But a lot of times you'll hear people's testimony. They're like, I've known it all along. Even when I was out in rebellion, I knew in the back of my mind, I'm called into ministry. It's interesting. He can call you anytime after you get saved, obviously. The call can be a dramatic encounter. Or it can be a subtle desire that grows into a really strong conviction, like, this is what I'm supposed to give myself to. That's how it was for me. So number one, God can call you into ministry through a dramatic encounter. I'll give you some examples. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is called into, the prophet Isaiah gets called into his prophetic ministry through a very dramatic visionary, open visionary encounter. With God, before he's caught up, he's in heaven somehow. Like, he's before the throne of God. He's looking at the throne of God, and he's overwhelmed. He sees the angels everywhere, and he's undone by the holiness of God. He's like, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. It's like in the presence of the pure holiness and love of God, his own sinfulness is exposed. And he's like, God, have mercy on me. He's like, woe is me, woe is me. And then God has mercy on him. And then God says, who will go for me? Whom shall I send? And then he responds in that encounter. He says, Lord, I will go. I will go. And then the Lord, right then, you read Isaiah chapter 6, the next thing that happens after he says, I will go, the Lord starts speaking to him about Israel, the people he's going to prophesy to, and starts giving him prophetic messages. He says, okay, you're going to go. You'll be my messenger. Good. Here's the message. And he starts downloading the message to him right away. And that's how he got his call into ministry. That was dramatic. Jeremiah was set apart for ministry from before he was born. You can read that. He mentions that in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 8. Ezekiel, very dramatic call into ministry. You can read this in Ezekiel chapter 2 and chapter 3. Some things about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was kind of a combination. Ezekiel was actually a priest before he was a prophet. So he was actually, to be a priest in Israel means that it was his family lineage. He was born into a, there was one family line that was set apart by God, says this is the priestly line. They are called into full-time ministry. They're not to be out doing other things. God, they need to give themselves to the ministering at the altar. That was their call. And he was born into this priestly line. And so from the time he's a young man, he's being trained in priestly service. He's offering the sacrifices. He's being trained in the word of God. This is what he's doing. He's trained in priestly service, and he's doing that faithfully for a while he's serving in the priestly role. He has this really dramatic, open, visionary encounter with God. You can read it in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3, where God calls him to be a prophet and to begin to prophesy. Okay, so there was a prophetic call on his life. So his call into ministry was a dramatic encounter for the prophetic part. But there was also this thing where it was just kind of, he was born into it. And I want to say this, I think there's callings on family lines. I really do. I think there's families that are set apart by God, and there's an anointing on a family line for ministry service. I think of like Bill Johnson, you know, and he talks about he's, I don't even know, fifth or sixth, seventh, I don't know, like generation in the ministry, serving the Lord in the ministry. You know, David Hogan, another, he's a missionary in Mexico. He's eighth generation serving the Lord in the ministry. And, you know, you hear about families like this where it's just the father and the son, and it seems like they just kind of grow up. The children are born into this atmosphere, and this is what the parents do. And so the children are just involved in it. You know what I mean? They grow up in it, and it just seems this natural progression. That's what they're trained in. That's what they're good at. That's what they do. And then there's a call that comes as well. But Paul had a dramatic encounter with Jesus, right? Listen, Paul, he got saved and called into the ministry at the same time, in the same encounter. He has this open, he hears the audible voice of the Lord, and he gets saved. And then God says, God tells him right away, you're going to be my messenger, my apostle to the Gentile world. And so he gets his calling at the same time he gets saved. Acts chapter 9, John the Baptist and Samson, both of them were set apart into ministry through the announcement of an angel. That's a dramatic encounter, okay? Before they were conceived. That's interesting to me. You know what I think? You know, we look at that and we say, wow, what would it be like to be born and the call over your life has already been determined? I think that's actually the case for all of us. I think God has a plan for your life. He knows what it is. He knows before you're even born. In Ephesians, Danny and I were talking about Ephesians chapter 1. It says that we were set apart to God before the world began. That we were predestined to be holy and blameless in his sight and to be adopted as his sons. So that means your destiny, before the world began, God knew your name, he knew your birth date, he knew who your parents would be, he knew who every single person in your genealogy would be. He knew it. And he knew what your call would be. He knew it. Now we have to choose to say yes, or we choose to say no, but I want to encourage you to begin seeking the Lord. What is the calling on my life? What is the calling on my life? You know, show me your plans for me. Show me your calling on my life, and then give me wisdom. Give me wisdom so I know how to cooperate with the Spirit as he works the calling out in my life. Because we get released into it usually in stages. It usually doesn't come all at once. And you see, almost every person I'm talking about here, their life is this stages of release. And I'll probably talk about that more next week when I talk about. Just because you get called into full-time ministry, it doesn't mean that you're preaching to millions, because most people aren't called to do that anyway. But it's there's a process of training and development that God brings you through. Jesus, of course, was called into ministry before he was born. Moses had a sense of his calling as a young man. You can kind of see that. You know, he was in Egypt, raised in Pharaoh's house. but he was a Jew. He was a Jew, and he knew that those were his people, even though they were slaves. And even as a young man, you see, he saw injustice where an Egyptian slave master or whatever was beating one of his brothers, one of his fellow Jewish people. And he had this sense of injustice, like, that's not right, and I need to step in and do something about this. I think that was the Lord who had that in his spirit, like, this is wrong, what they're doing to our people, and our people need to be set free, and I need to do something about this. I think that sense was in him by the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't know exactly how to work that out, but just that kind of sense of, I'm called, that I need to do something. He acted in the wrong way, and he flees, and it wasn't really until 40 years later, he has this dramatic encounter with God at a burning bush where God calls him into his ministry to deliver the Israel out of Egypt and to form them into a nation. It's pretty cool. Okay, so God can call you through a dramatic encounter. Second, God can call you into full-time ministry through a wise spiritual leader. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Matthew, and the other 12 apostles, they were called into full-time ministry by Jesus. It's interesting. It doesn't really tell us some dramatic encounter that they had. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. They just were there. All it tells us is Jesus came up. They knew about him. They'd seen what he was doing. They kind of knew what he was about. But then he came up to them. And he says, come follow me. I want to train you, and I'll teach you to fish for men. Now, he called them into the ministry, and it must have borne witness with them or something, because they were like, yes, and instantly they left whatever they were doing and gave themselves, and they responded to his call. Now, I just want to make this as a disclaimer. God can call you into a ministry through a wise spiritual leader, but you should not give yourself to something only upon the word of a ministry leader. Because you have the Holy Spirit, it needs to bear witness with your own spirit. Does that make sense? So just because some person comes and says, I've been prophesied so many things, it's so funny, over the years, you know. I've had people, I mean, this is when I was young, you know. Oh, you know you're called to be an evangelist, right? I'd be like, cool, okay. Because I didn't know. I knew I was called into full-time ministry, but I'm like, what? Should I be a missionary? Am I an evangelist? Should I be a pastor? I don't know. What am I? And they'd be like, you know you're supposed to be an evangelist. I'm like, okay. And then somebody else at another time would be like, I'm just prophesying. You know, you're a prophet. And I'm like, oh, cool. I like prophets. That would be awesome. And then the one that made me even happier, and I didn't even really know what it was, they'd come later on another time, like, oh, you're called to be an apostle. I'd be like, oh, cool. Those guys are powerful. That would be nice, because I really didn't know what they were very much. But I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. What I'm saying is, you got to walk your walk with the Holy Spirit. But there is something legitimate, and you're going to see it here in Scripture, where God will use a wise spiritual leader to alert you or to confirm a calling in your heart. You know, for me, God used a spiritual leader in my life to kind of open my eyes to even think about the possibility of being called into ministry. I had thought about it in the back of my mind a little bit. And my youth pastor would, I'm going to get into this later, but my youth pastor would be, hey, I think you're called into ministry. Have you ever thought about this? And I'd be like, maybe. And I had thought about it a little bit, but I wasn't ready to say, like, yes, I'm called. I didn't know, but I was paying attention, and I really respected him. So I'm like, that's interesting that he thinks that. But I was still focused on being a professional baseball player at that time, so God had to kill that dream before I was open to a new one. Timothy, I don't know, I like to say kind of was drafted into ministry by Paul. I don't know if that's really how it worked. But kind of when you read Acts chapter 16, Paul goes into this new city and he finds these believers there, really godly family, especially his mother and his grandmother. And Timothy was this godly young man, really loved the Lord. All the disciples in the churches in that new city spoke really well of Timothy. And so all it says is Paul wanted to take Timothy along with him. I suppose Paul saw the call of God, I believe, in Timothy. And he says, I'm going to train this young man. Bring him with me, and let's train him. And I know what that's like. I can do that. So sometimes the Holy Spirit, he'll open my eyes, and I can see when a call's on somebody. And So I think that's what happened there. So Elisha was called into ministry through the prophet Elijah. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 19. So Elijah, by the way, was a really awesome prophet. Just at in his day, he was the man in Israel. I mean, he was the man. There were lots of prophets in Israel at that time. And Jezebel was a king or a queen. And Ahab, and they were killing a lot of the prophets. But Elijah, he was like, there were all these anointed prophets, but Elijah was like the one that was kind of like the father, the spiritual father among the prophets. I mean, he was clearly like the head prophet, the primary prophet God was using in that season of Israel's life. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. And there were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Now, this was a prophetic act, is what Elijah was doing. And Elisha knew exactly what Elijah was doing. When the main prophet over Israel comes and takes off his cloak and he throws it over Elisha's shoulder, he knew, he's like, the mantle of prophetic calling and anointing that's on me, God's wanting, I'm going to be going, and God's wanting to pass it on to somebody, and God's chosen you. You're going to receive the mantle of the calling and the anointing. You're going to pick up where I left off and continue on the prophetic ministry God has started through me. That's what it meant. It was a prophetic act passing the cloak or the coat over his shoulders. And Elisha knew exactly what it was. Notice what he's doing. He's out there working. He's a farmer. He's plowing the field. Okay? But listen, look at his response. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, "First, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." Because he knows Elijah is calling him to be by his side to train him in prophetic ministry to pass on the mantle. And Elijah replied, "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." I love this. So Elisha returned to his oxen, and what did he do? You know what he's doing? He's saying, "Oh God, I say yes. I'm all in. I hear you loud and clear. You're calling me into that prophetic ministry to be trained by Elijah. I say yes, and I am so set my heart on what you're calling me to do. I'm burning my farming materials, my farming tools, because I'm not going back to this. I'm giving myself fully to the calling that you've set before me." That's what he was doing. He's like, "I'm burning the plow. There's no going back for me. It's only forward from here by faith." He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast the oxen because for a meal. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. I think that's a great picture of the heart response God wants all of us to have to the call on our life. Whether it's full-time ministry or some other calling. I'm talking about full-time ministry, though, now. But I, this is like, when God called me into ministry, I was like, yes, absolutely. What does it take? Anything. I'm in. Wherever you want me to live, I'll live. And I have. He's moved me around a few times. And almost every time, it actually was to places I didn't care about that much. But in the natural. anyway, that's a different story. So God can use a wise spiritual leader to alert you to, like, do you realize there's a call on your life? I think there's a call in your life. And it gets you thinking, like, God, is there a call on my life? And the Lord will confirm it. Does that make sense? Or he does it where you're like, God, I think there may be a call on my life. I just need to know. And then God brings along a wise spiritual leader that you respect. It's a man or woman of God. And they say, listen, I see a call on your life. And you're like, yes, I knew it. I thought there was. Thank you. And it just gives you, it emboldens your faith. Like, this is confirmation of God's plan. And then we have to respond and we enter into the training process of which we call the school of the Spirit. Number three. God can call you into ministry through a combination of divine encounters and a natural progression of events. The thing I want to point out here is sometimes we think the only way we're called into ministry, it has to be this dramatic, you know, visionary encounter, audible voice of God. The prophet calls you out in the stadium of thousands of people and says, you are the next Billy Graham. It's then I'm called. It's like, that's great. That's legitimate. But that's not always what happens. And it's just as legitimate of a call into full-time ministry if the call comes in one of these other ways. Samuel was a guy who was consecrated into priestly service by his mother. Okay? You guys remember the story? So his mom wants a child. She's barren. God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you into your service. I mean, that's just like Samuel had no say in this at that point. Mama's like, and then God says, gives her a child, and actually gave her a bunch more after that. But her firstborn, when he was old enough and he had been weaned, she literally took him to the to Shiloh, I think it was, which was the city where the priesthood was set up at that time. They'd offer the sacrifices, and he lived there, like left her son there to live there, to be cared for by the priest and his family, and to be trained in ministering in the Lord's temple as a priest. And so he's a young boy. And like once a year, his mom would come back, you know, to give offerings at the temple and say, how you doing, boy? But he was trained from a young age. He was consecrated into ministry by his mom. He was trained in the ministry as a young boy and a young man by Eli, who we read about just a few weeks ago, wasn't actually that great of a spiritual leader. But it's interesting. It's interesting. But he was a blessing to Samuel. He was a blessing to Samuel. There wasn't all bad in him. And there God did use him. And there was an occasion. So Samuel grows up, and it's just this natural progression where he's being, you know, I'm going to read it in a little bit, actually. I should get my Bible, because I actually don't have this whole chapter memorized. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. You guys doing okay? This is one of those messages today where I just had a burden on my heart to call people out and to affirm you if you have a call into full-time ministry and to pray over you. That's really where I'm going with this thing. 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's interesting. There's this just a progression of the daily grind. You know, being a priest, it was like you get up, you go in the camp, you go in the temple, you light the candles. You keep them burning. And it's just like your daily chores, honestly. Only it was holy service is what they're doing. But it felt to him, it's just like it's his chores every day. And it's just work, really. But it's holy work to the Lord, and he's doing it. And he's being trained in ministry, but it doesn't feel glamorous. It doesn't feel like this is so huge and important. It's like I'm just working in the house of the Lord and doing the daily stuff that has to be done that God wants done, and he's just doing it. And then when he's young, there was a day where God came to him in the night, audible voice, and calls him by name. God's like, Samuel. Samuel, he's a little boy. He doesn't even know it's God. He thinks Eli is calling him. So he's like, what? He wakes up. He goes into Eli. He's like, here I am. You called me? And Eli, you know, it's kind of like his dad. Eli's like, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. He's like, okay. Goes back to sleep. God says, Samuel, does it again. Audible voice. Wakes him up. Samuel's like, man, he's calling me again. He goes to Eli. Says, Eli, here I am. You called me. Eli's like, listen, I did not call you. But then Eli, ding, you know, the light bulb goes off and he realizes, he's like, oh my, I think God's maybe speaking to this guy. And so praise God for this. It's good to have spiritual fathers who can kind of clue us in on this is God working right now. And so Eli says, I'll tell you what, it may be God speaking to you. When you go back, if you hear the voice again, this is what you say. Say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Samuel's a good boy. He's doing his chores and he obeys what he's supposed to do, right? So he goes back in there. God says, Samuel. Samuel obeys Eli. He says, here I am, Lord. Speak, your servant is listening. And then God begins to speak prophetic messages to his life and calls him as a prophet, as a young boy. But I want you to notice something. I'm going to read through part of this chapter in chapter 3, where this instance happens. And I want you to notice this is a natural, there's a natural progression in his prophetic ministry, actually. It wasn't like he had a very profound prophetic word of the Lord immediately that first night. God actually spoke a word of judgment against Eli, who's like his dad almost, taking care of him. I mean, God's like, I'm going to judge this whole household and everything. And he's like, I mean, a little boy, imagine, you know, the responsibility. And he's like, okay, the next morning, Eli comes to him. He's like, tell me everything the Lord told you. And Samuel's like, he was like, this is really awkward. I don't know if I want to say this. And Eli's like, no, even if it's negative, I command you, you better tell me or else you're going to be in big trouble. So he's like, okay, the Lord's going to judge you and all this kind of stuff. And Eli's like, well, he's the Lord. He can do what he wants. You know, he's like, okay, because he knew it was the word of the Lord because another prophet had already told him that. Okay, let's do chapter 3. And what I want to just highlight here, Holy Spirit, help me, is to show you the natural progression, though, because he had this profound prophetic word right away, but then he would still get words and encounters as the years continued in his life into a teenage years. He would continue to get words, and God would, he would say them as the Lord would give them, and every single time, the word would be fulfilled. Like, not one word did he ever give that was off. And over time, and this track record of accuracy had built up to the point where his notoriety had spread throughout the nation, and people began to recognize, this guy's really a prophet of the Lord. And finally, when he was older as a man, he got to the point where people had such honor and respect for him. Like, this guy hears God. He's a man of integrity. And he has this long track record for years. We've been seeing this. And so he was actually a judge. He was the main leader over the entire nation in his adult years. Let me see where I want to pick up. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Meanwhile, verse 1, the boy Samuel served the Lord. How? By assisting Eli. That's interesting to me. He's being trained in ministry. He's serving the Lord, but he does it by serving another man of God in his ministry and doing that. And it says, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. And then God spoke to him, the story I just told you. God gives him the prophetic word. And let's skip to verse 15. Samuel, he has this encounter. God gives him the prophetic word. He's going to judge Eli and his family. And then Samuel stayed in bed until morning after that encounter during the night. And then he got up, and I love this phrase, and he opened the doors of the tabernacle. What's the phrase? As usual. It's just, he's in training for ministry, but there's this thing about God trains you in your ministry calling. There's a very huge part of your training that's just the mundane, monotonous little things. He's just getting up, go open this. It's the morning, go open the doors of the temple. Worshippers are going to be coming. It's like, okay, that was his chore. That was his job. He was faithful in it. He was responsible. He got up and he went and he did it. And he kept serving. He says he was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replied. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything. And may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. So at that point, you know, he's like, okay, I'll tell you, you know, you're not going to like it. But remember, you threatened me. You asked for it. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. That's the mark of a faithful minister right there. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best. Now, verse 19, notice this phrase, as Samuel grew up. Notice that there's this progression, natural course of events that's happening. He's just continuing on in life. He's still getting up and opening the doors of the temple and lighting the candles and doing all the little chores that he's got to do. He's still serving in these ways, but there's a clear call on his life as a prophet now. It says the Lord was with him because the anointing for the prophetic calling on his life had come upon him, but he wasn't released into it in fullness yet. And then everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. God just wouldn't let any of his words fall to the ground. Every prophetic word he gave proved to be truth. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. So there was a confirmation. He was called. You know, sometimes, you know, we get this call, and sometimes people like, I'm called, I'm anointed, don't you know, can't you see the call on my life? And they just get this chip on their shoulder because they're like, people aren't recognizing my anointing. People aren't recognizing my giftedness. They're not recognizing my calling. And it's like, chill, because God hasn't shown it to him yet. He maybe have shown it to you, but he didn't show it to them yet. Right now, he's teaching you humility. That's what he's teaching you. You have just entered into the school of the Spirit. Welcome, my son. Humility 101. You are anointed. That is true. But you've got tons of pride, and it's going to kill you. If I released you into your full measure of authority that I'm going to plan on bringing you into in this state, you would hurt a lot of people. You would dishonor me, and it would be bad for you at the judgment. And since I love you, you're my son before you're just my anointed one, and I care about who you are, I'm going to train you right now. And so notice that Samuel's humble, though. He just keeps serving. And he's got these really high-level, accurate words from the Lord, but he just keeps serving. And over the course of time, it was confirmed to the people that, man, there's an anointing on this guy. Like, who is this kid? I mean, he speaks, and he just, every single time, it's proves to be totally accurate. Like, I pay attention when this guy talks now. And word spread around, and over the course of time, he was already anointed. But he grew in favor with God and in favor with men over the course of time as he served faithfully. Does that make sense? And to the point where everybody knew it eventually, this guy's a prophet of the Lord. It's obvious. But that was over years. And then the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel. He kept getting words and encounters with the Lord. And Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel. Eventually, he became the number one leader in all the nation. But that happened over time. The point I want to make over this is sometimes our ministry calling, a call into ministry, it can be this divine encounter. He had divine encounters, right? But it can also just be this, over the course of time, there's this natural progression of events. You're serving in a priestly service, and you're set apart by God. And I believe this. I believe the sovereignty of God, he can work, he reigns over all these things. Do you know that he can choose the family you're born into? He can choose all these things. And the encounters you have, he sets you up for training. Last thing I want to say, number four, God can call you into ministry through a burning desire to give yourself to full-time ministry. This is how my main way I was called into ministry initially. And it was confirmed later in subsequent years to encounters what I had with the Lord. But initially, my call into ministry, I got saved. Since I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. My fallback plan was I'll play baseball in college on a scholarship and get a teaching degree. And if I can't make it to the pros or get injured, I'll coach baseball in high school and be a teacher. I'll coach PE, you know, whatever. Because PE is the best subject, in my opinion. That should get a bigger amen, I think, but whatever. I'm just playing. But that was my plan, and I get saved. I'm on fire for God. I mean, I am on fire. I'm in love with Jesus. He's my main thing in life. But I still, you know, I'm young, and I'm thinking I'm still going to play baseball, and now I'm going to glorify Jesus in doing it. And so, and there would be times where I just had these random thoughts of like, what if I'd see myself preaching or leading a church or a youth group or something like that. And I'd kind of think about it. I'd be mowing the lawn maybe or something and daydream a little bit about it. Daydreams is a big thing that God's used in my life. And I just catch my mind wandering and daydreaming about preaching and doing this stuff. And then I'd be like, I don't know, maybe it'd be cool after I retire from baseball, people would really want to listen to me because I'll be in the Hall of Fame and I'll be a famous baseball player. And then I could really make a difference for Jesus. That's what I thought. So I just kept going and put it out of my mind. And then my youth pastor would say, hey, I think you may have a call of God on your life into ministry. And I'd be like, I just kind of listen. I wouldn't tell him no, and I wouldn't be like, yes, it bears witness. I'd just be like, huh, that's interesting. I don't know. And then I'd just keep going. I like Jesus. I'm like, whatever you want me to do, ultimately. But what ended up happening then is I thought my plan was going to work out. I get to the end of my senior year, and I get an opportunity. I get a baseball scholarship offered to me. So I'm thinking, here we go. I'm going to go play baseball in college. And I you know, my plan's going to work out. And I go, but before I went, I prayed because I was going to go tour the campus where that they had offered me a baseball scholarship. And the coach showed me around campus and all this stuff. And I was like, Lord, before I go, I'm like, I really want to play baseball. But more than anything, I want your will for my life. So if this is what you want for me, I just pray that you'd make that clear when I'm here. And or if you want me to do something else, just make it obvious to me, make it clear. And so I had already positioned my heart in the sense where I was wanting to accept this scholarship. I want, because this was my dream. I get there, he tours me around the campus. It was me and my dad. We were walking around campus, and he's showing me the facilities and things. And as we, and he talked about the baseball program, and the more he talked about baseball, like the more, it was the craziest, most opposite thing I would imagine. The more he talked about it, the more it sounded like, ugh, I don't even want to do that, which that's just weird. And I'm like, okay. And so we get done with the official tour, and I said, well, I'll let you know. Thank you. And I went back home, and I knew it. I just knew it. In my heart, I knew. I'm like, I'm not supposed to go there. Then I'm like, God, this is my only scholarship offer. If I don't go here, I don't have another offer out there. What am I going to do? Do you want me to walk on at a different place? I'm like, what do you want me to do? But I knew it in my heart, and I was like, you know what? God doesn't want me there. I just knew it, and I knew it through desire. It was just desire. I didn't hear the word of the Lord. I just knew he was guiding me through my desires. I had, all of a sudden, I had no desire whatsoever to go there and play baseball. So I called the coach up, and I said, thank you so much. I feel very honored that you offered me this scholarship, but I just feel like I'm not supposed to do it, you know, like the Lord doesn't want me to take it. And he was like, okay, you know, I respect that, and that was that. So I hung up the phone. Now what, Lord? Like, now what? I'm done with high school. I have no plans now. I do not know what you want me to do. I'm in no man's land. I had a plan, and that plan just got killed. And I'm like, now what? And I knew I'd obey God, but I still didn't know what he wanted me to do. So for a couple months that summer, I was just seeking the Lord. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Later that summer, I go to a youth camp. And I'm at this youth camp, and while I'm there, the guy would give the altar call. I would get up. I would come forward. The Holy Spirit would touch me. I mean, it'd be packed altars, and I'd just be worshiping Jesus, getting filled with the Spirit all over again, touched by God. Every single night of the camp, this is what happened. I'd get touched by the Lord, and I'd be enjoying God for a few minutes, and all of a sudden, the Spirit, I just had this thing like, start praying for people. And I'd be like, okay. I was just one of the campers. You know, it's not like I was like a counselor or something. And I was like, okay. And I turn around, I just start praying for people, and God would start touching them. And I remember one night, it was like one of the last nights. I think it was the last night of the camp. I'd been doing this all week. Every night, the Lord led me the same way. And I was praying for this girl, and she just began pouring out her heart of stuff she was going through. And as she did, God gave me counsel. They gave me words to speak to her, and I was speaking wise counsel to her from the scriptures. And as I did, it was the anointing that was on my life because I had anointing for this. And as I was flowing in it and functioning in it, and I could see the breakthrough happening in her countenance, even as I shared this counsel, and I knew God was touching her. And you know how you can have a conversation with God while you're also talking with a person? Well, in my mind, I'm talking with her, but in my mind, I'm going, I love this. God, I love this. This is awesome. I love watching you touch people like this. And then he just spoke to me right then. He was like, good. He's like, because this is what I want you to do for the rest of your life. And I knew by saying that, he was like, you can do this for the rest of your life. Just give yourself full time to ministry. And I was so excited. I was like, yeah, I'm in. Do you know what? I didn't hear an audible voice of God. I didn't. It was dramatic for me, I guess. But it wasn't this like visionary thing. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a vision. It was a still small voice that was confirmed by this growing desire. I want this, God. I would love to. And I want to say this because I want to tell you, there are some of you who are called in ministry, and it's like, God, how do I know I'm called? I haven't had that big dramatic encounter, but you have this huge, if I could do anything, if God gave you a blank check and said, just do whatever you want. Whatever you choose to do in life, I will bless. What would you want to do if you could do anything? And some of you are like, I would give myself full time to ministry. This is what I want more than anything. You know what? That's likely a good sign. That's what you're called to do. It's like, what? Psalm 37:4. God's used this verse to help me for years. He says, first thing, delight yourself in the Lord. Stop there. That's a command, isn't it? So what is the command? He says, our responsibility, he says, you set your heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Delight yourself in him. Make him, his presence, his favor, the desire to please him and honor his word. Make that the focal point of your life. Delight yourself in him. This is the treasure of my life. I'm going to delight myself in you. Now, when you do that, what will he do? What does it say? Yeah. He says, you delight yourself in the Lord. Here's what God says. He says, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. That's interesting. Because sometimes people don't like this. The Holy Spirit can lead us through our desires. Because how many of you know we have fleshly, sinful desires sometimes? And they're, you know, we're afraid like, oh, I can't trust my desires. But listen, what's the prerequisite for this? You're delighting yourself in the Lord. Your will is what I want more than anything. God, like I prayed, I want to go play baseball. I want to say this. But Lord, I want your will more than anything. So if this isn't what you have, just let me know. And he's like, no problem. You're delighting yourself in me. Not mine, your will, but yours be done. He says, you delight yourself in me. I will guide you through the desires of your heart. And he actually switched my desires. And all of a sudden, I have this intense desire. I want to be in ministry. Now, what I found is that, I'll just read this, it's on your sheet. Your ministry calling doesn't need to be dramatic. Often God will lead us through our desires. As we move forward in faith to pursue these desires, God will often confirm his will along the way as we go. And that's important. You know, as we move forward, I've had lots of encounters with God now about calling me into specifics about my ministry. But I didn't at first. I was just like, I know this is the Lord. My youth pastor thinks it. He sees it on my life. Other people, you know, my pastor could see it in my life. I had a desire for it. It's what I wanted to do. Baseball's not an option anymore. Might as well. I'm going to do this, you know? And so I started moving forward, and then I began having encounters with the Lord that confirmed the calling as I went. And you'll also, you can tell by the fruit. There'll be good. There's an anointing when you're called into ministry. All right, I want to pray for you. Does that sound okay? You guys have done good hanging with me. Here's what I want to do. This is what the big thing on my heart. If you feel that you may be called into full-time ministry, I'm going to ask you in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And in doing this, you're not saying, I am called for sure into full-time ministry, and I'm vowing before God and all my brothers and sisters in the Lord publicly that I'll never do anything else except this. That's not what I'm saying. Some of you may be at that point. Now, there does come a point where it's so clear to you, you know. You know what I mean? And that's good. But you may even be at a place where, you know what? I wonder if I am. I wonder. Because I do have a desire for this. And here's a verse that's really encouraged me. It's out of Proverbs. It says, to man belong the plans of the heart, but the Lord directs his steps. And so what I found is like sometimes I'm like seeking his will. God, show me what to do in this situation. And I feel led in this direction. But I don't have a clear word, but it's just a general sense. Move in this direction. I'm like, okay. And I think it's going to look like this. And I start moving in that direction. And God's like, while I'm moving, he just kind of steers me. He's like, it wasn't exactly what I had thought it would be originally, but it was in that direction. It was just over here. And as I went, he steered me where I needed to go. Does that make sense? And so if you feel like, you know what, I think there might be a call on my life. I don't know for sure, or maybe you do know for sure. But you think, I may be able to, and Lord, I'm saying if this is true, into full-time ministry I'm talking about, you all have a call into something, but full-time ministry, I'm going to ask you to stand because I want to pray over you, and you're just saying, God, I'm presenting myself to you. If this is a way that you want to use me, then I present myself to you. Let your will be done. Guide me. And you don't have to worry. If that's your calling, he's going to, you're going into this, you're already in the school of the Spirit. But also there's, you know, and if it's something slightly different, he'll lead you in that as well. So if you feel like you may be called into full-time ministry, I want you to just stand to your feet right now. Good. I want you to, and what we want to do as the body of Christ, what we want to do is every calling is valid. There is no superior calling. But what we want to do is we want to honor those and we want to bless and support those that God may be calling. And so I want to pray, help them, God. Help them come into the fullness of what you have. Honestly, standing in this room right now, inside of you may be hundreds of churches. Represented in this room right now, inside of us, there may be thousands and thousands of souls. And so I want to pray. I just want to pray. So if someone's next to you and you're not standing, just go over to them. And I want you to just place your hands on them, and we're going to pray over them and bless them. So Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And here's what I want to do, Lord. Right now, I want to, Father, right now, we just say, those who you've called into full-time ministry, Father, right now, we ask Holy Spirit that you would come. I feel, I want to lay hands on you, actually. I'm going to call you up. I got to lay hands on you. But I want to pray this first while you guys pray. Father, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you come now, that the anointing of the Spirit for ministry would come upon them, and that you would, by the anointing right now, that you would consecrate them into your service in Jesus' name. We just speak that right now. We know there's going to be stages of release. It's going to look different for everybody, the way that works out. But I ask for that anointing, God, as confirmation that this anointing would come upon them and confirm the call, even over the weeks and the months and the years that go by, that you would confirm the call through encounters with you, Father, through just different ways you use them, different things that happen in their life, that you would confirm for those that you're saying, yes, this is my call for you. God, confirm it. And we thank you for creating a way right now through the wilderness. God, you are creating a way for them to walk out the fullness of their ministry calling. And in the name of Jesus, I bless you. I bless you to come into the fullness of the calling that God has on your life, the full impact that God desires you to have. I bless you in the name of Jesus.